All right, we're doing it. Welcome to the 14th installment of Desert Talk. We're changing it up a little bit. I'm doing this first thing in the morning. Well, I did it first thing in the morning, and then I found out that my phone, its audio jack is kind of fucked. So I thought it was recording for, you know, about... I had an episode recorded that was about an hour long, or that I thought was recorded for about an hour. Apparently, it shut off. It shut off about not even 20 minutes into it, so I lost everything that was usable. I had a lot of audio issues, and that was just a major bummer. So, starting the day off on the wrong foot, but you know, I'm just going to work through it. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to continue to. I'm basically going to redo the episode, except probably not hit on any of the stuff that I touched on, because I don't have any notes. I've just been sipping my black coffee, and just shucking and jiving, just riddling off whatever's on my mind, and trying not to leave too many breaks or pauses, or I'm trying not to use filler words. That's something that I've been really trying to stay conscious of and stop doing, using those filler words. And you know, if it, like that, you know, it's part of how I talk, but you know, at the same time, I'm trying to get these I'm trying to become a better comedian, and if I'm just using these filler words, that's not good. It's just going to keep throwing me off topic. It's going to break up my thought continuity. You know, even though that's just ADD and a whole confluence of childhood trauma, probably. Who knows? Yeah. So I'm trying to not do that, and I'm just going to try and keep talking. But, well, you know, clearly it's all for shit. So let's get right into it. I'm going to New York tonight. I'm going to be there for about a week, going there for Thanksgiving. Going to have Thanksgiving dinner on Tuesday at my cousin's place in upstate New York. My parents are flying in, so I'll meet them out there. And on Thanksgiving, I got nothing going on. I'm hoping to find some open mics or a show to get on, you know, do something comedy related. Because, obviously, Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays. But if I'm not having Thanksgiving dinner, then I want to do something else that I really enjoy. I'm not going to have Thanksgiving dinner with just anyone. I'm selective. I like to have good quality people surrounding me, because good quality people usually make good quality food. Like, never has there been an asshole that I've known personally who just makes a really good rice pudding, you know? That's one of my favorite desserts to have. I've not had rice pudding on Thanksgiving before, but I have had rice pudding on Christmas, and I think it would be a welcome addition to any Thanksgiving dinner as well. But you know, I'm not having Thanksgiving dinner this year because nobody invited me. No, it's I'm not having Thanksgiving dinner this year because my parents are cheap. And they're flying back to Seattle on Thanksgiving because you get way. If you fly on Thanksgiving, tickets are super cheap. You don't have to, the travel's pretty light too. You can get right through security, and that's great because inevitably my parents will show up to the airport at just the last minute because, you know, mom being procrastinator and everything, she's missed more flights than I can count. I mean, there was one time she missed four flights consecutively. She missed the one she was originally booked on, and then the subsequent three makeup bookings. The people at the JetBlue service desk, I think they realized, like, hey, this lady, she's sweet, but she's off her fucking rocker. So they somehow maintained patience with her, I maybe they haven't seen through her facade, but sorry, mom. She managed to miss four consecutive flights, despite staying at the airport. I mean, you can't make this shit up. And it wasn't because of anxiety that she wasn't getting on the plane. She just had other things that she was doing and just assumed that they would hold the door for her a half hour past departure time. I don't understand how her mind works, and nor should I try. Trying to understand my mom is like trying to understand me. It's just not going to happen. Don't get hung up on trying to get inside my head. It's a fucking clown show up here. It's not great. It could be worse, but it's not great either. I'm working with what I got. That's why I've got this rambling podcast. I'm pretty stoked about having this podcast. And, if I can't get on any comedy shows, or if there are no open mics on Thanksgiving, there's gotta be one. But if there aren't, or if there isn't, I will be doing another podcast on Thanksgiving, because that will be Thursday, and I'm going to be leaving New York on Friday. Friday afternoon, I'll be flying back to Palm Springs. I'm going to be in New York for a week, and that's going to be a pretty cool time. I'm going to be staying at my friend's apartment, while he's out of town for his own Thanksgiving holiday. He told me that I could stay at his apartment for free, which I really appreciate. Thank you, Jerry Garcia. But only on this condition, that I don't have sex while I'm staying at his apartment. That is not anything that he should worry about. I'm going to be in New York on a very tight budget. I'm not going to be out there making moves while I'm in line at Trader Joe's, where I'm getting lunch every day because it's cheap as hell and the food's good quality. I'm not going to be out at any bars aside from whatever open mics I'm doing or comedy shows that I might be at. I'm not going to be out there drinking, not going to be out there buying drinks. My game is pretty much dead anyway, so you don't have to worry about me doing that. It's great. I just thought it was such a preposterous stipulation. I mean, it wouldn't be if I were that kind of guy, if I was getting out a lot. It's just like, don't worry. I'm not, like, if you, point is this, if you offer your place to me, I'm going to treat it like it's my own place. And I treat my place pretty well. Stuff is organized for the most part without being too neat freakish. But I also, don't leave things. I don't leave dishes in the sink. I make sure it's tidy. It's just good enough to make it look like, hey, this guy's not a slob and has respect for himself. That's where I'm at. Let me get some water. My throat is closing up. Okay. let's see. I should get into, because I did touch on this on the last episode I did that I released on Sunday, just about how in the last week I've been dealing with a lot of anxiety. Mercury was in retrograde, and that was something that I could use as an excuse for why my anxiety was peaking. But in any case, I went to the Hood Bar last night in Palm Desert for their open mic that I do every Wednesday, and usually it goes pretty well. Usually doesn't even matter if I got no material prepared. I can usually just riff, and the crowd enjoys me. And last night, nobody hated me, but the material that I did, nothing was hitting. Nobody was paying attention. People didn't hate me, but they're also pretty much indifferent to my presence on stage. And it's like, that didn't have me feeling great. I listened back to my set, and it definitely deserved the response it got. But I'm going to be in New York, I'm very tempted to like I don't want to live any life of regret, you know. So like if I'm in New York, I want to be getting on a show. And the problem is that I don't have any I mean, who knows? Maybe the material I have is good enough. Maybe I can, you know, hone it in time for the show that's happening on Monday at the Stand, that I think I can probably get on. Basically because of my recent performances, my confidence is pretty shook. And that's not a good thing. Like, you don't want to go on stage not being confident, because that's a recipe for disaster right away. You know, there's something that Anthony Jeselnik was talking about on the Getting Better podcast with Ron Funches. You know, he was saying, like, if you're on stage, you need to believe that you are the best. You know, maybe even say it. Because if you're not the best, then why do you think these people came out to see you? You know, like, they came out only because John Mulaney was too expensive or something? Like, no, it's you point is, you need to be confident. You need to give them product that you appear confident in. So in any case, I need to work through that, which I'm hoping to do at various, you know, open mics and just more practice, you know, rehearsing in front of a mirror or something while I'm in New York. And who knows, maybe it'll be good. But I did, the more I've been thinking about this, the more I've been thinking back to the third episode of Desert Talk, Tic-Tac-Toe Snob. And that was recorded in two segments. One was about 2 hours before I did the same show back in August. And I was in a similar state of mind. You know, I was nervous as hell. I wasn't super confident in my material because it had bombed. And I was just, you know, my head was just kind of messed up because I still didn't have a job. And I just had a lot of little, you know, anxieties on my mind that were fucking with me. And I, you know, so anyway, I did that podcast, and then I went to the Stand, and I crushed. I had an out-of-body experience. Everybody loved me, and it was really cool. I got a lot of compliments, and like I've watched the tape of that performance several times since, and you know, my goal with that, I have achieved it. My goal with that tape was to be embarrassed by it 3 months later, because, you know, I wanted to make sure that I was still growing and not, you know, getting complacent, saying, hey, here I am. This is my, I've just hit my stride. And, you know, that would be selling myself short. It would also not be a very good product that I'm giving out all the time. So, you know, but, you know, point is, I'm trying to work through that, and just keep in mind that after I had, you know, despite all that self-doubt and anxiety and nerves and everything, and after I gave myself permission just to go up there and enjoy myself and open my heart to these people and also make some fart jokes, the gratification that brought me was just like the best feeling in the world. You know, cause like that was something that I worked on. I was really worried about it. It meant a lot to me. And then I succeeded. Like that was, it was such a trip. It was such a, like a multi-dimensional kind of emotional sequence. It was just absolutely absurd. It was fucking nuts. Cause I don't remember really being on stage. It was an out of body experience. Like it was so cool. And I want to get that again. And the only way to get that again is to keep doing it. So I was thinking about that episode that I did before the show, because sorry to have gone on that tangent, but and let that roundabout aside, but that was the first segment of the podcast, and the second segment was recorded the day after the show, and I just talked about how grateful I was for my friends showing up and enjoying me, and the people who were there and gave me compliments. It was a really good feeling, and I promised myself to never lose sight of that. That was such an important moment for me, because that's the thing that I need to look to anytime I do have these doubts about myself in comedy. Because a lot of the time it does feel like it's me against the world, because, you know, a lot of the times I bomb because I'm still new to this, and I'm hard on myself, and I'm trying to, you know, work stuff out and just get better at being on stage for one thing, but also joke writing and telling the jokes and remembering all the different tags and setups. And it's a lot to keep track of when you got such a cluttered mind like I do, which I hope gives me some appeal. I think it does, but you know, not everybody gets it. And I also haven't refined it enough to be, you know, universally well received. Getting some more coffee here. So I'm really tempted to sign up for this showcase that's on Monday. And I've been thinking about doing this, and the reason I want to sign up for it, you know, in addition to, you know, not letting a show just slip through my fingers, while I'm on the other side of the country and I have the opportunity, I saw that Mark Normand is going to be headlining that show. And he's one of my favorite comics. If you have not checked him out, you gotta. He's hilarious. He's, you know, been doing comedy for 13 years now. And he's kind of recently hit his stride. You know, he has like over 100,000 Instagram followers, and he's a great Instagram account. You know, posts a lot of his clips. That's kind of how I got into him. I saw something that the Comedy Cellar posted of him. It was a good bit. I really like the guy. So I want to do the show, because then if I get on the show, then I'll get to meet him, and that would be cool. The only thing is, in addition to my anxiety, anxieties aside, I think I'm going to do this show. But anxieties aside, one reason I'm hesitant to do this is that I feel like I'm a curse. Just, you know, a lot of people I meet, I've met a lot of famous people, mostly in the baseball industry. And on a rare occasion that I've met somebody, this happens sometimes when I meet people. I meet them and it's a nice thing, and then something bad happens to them shortly after. So I worry because of that I'm a curse, you know. It's because I don't believe in curses, but at the same time I kind of do. It's a bit of a mind fuck, but I'll give you an example. This is back in 2016. I was living in New York, and I was working for Tops, and my mom flew in to town to visit me and, you know, visit some of her friends. So she was in town. We went out to dinner, went to this sushi restaurant in Midtown, Hatsuhana. Great place. They offer triple miles. So I got, a free Delta flight out of it, or that helped me with. Anyway, so we're out at Hatsuhana having sushi, and we're about halfway through our meal and having a nice conversation when I see out of my periphery this tall guy walk in, just sort of with this saunter, swagger, that I associate immediately with being a baseball player. I've spent a lot of time around baseball players. There is a certain aura that they give off, or that they have. It's weird. And you know, like I looked at this guy, he's, you know, real tall dude, about 6'6", was wearing a North Face fleece and a Carhartt hat and had a beard. And, you know, so obviously he does not live in New York. You do not see that. You don't see that look. And he's just going out for dinner by himself. And, you know, I figure, all right, maybe he's with the visiting team. They just got in. So I get up my phone and I look at the MLB At Bat app. And I'm just like, sorry, Mom, I know we're in the middle of a conversation, but the guy who just took a seat a couple tables behind you, pretty sure he's a baseball player. I have to confirm this. So she's like, oh, okay, fine. So she goes to the bathroom and I'm going through my app and I look to see which of the New York teams is in town, Yankees or Mets. I see the Yankees are on the road and Mets are home and they have an off day today, but tomorrow they begin a 3-game series against the Giants, you know, the San Francisco Giants. And so then I pull up the Giants roster and sitting at the top, Mike Broadway. I see the mugshot and then I look up at the guy. I'm just like, yeah, that's him. And so then I fucked up a part of the story. That was, shit, whatever. But in any case, before I looked at the roster, I listened to his order when the waitress came over. This is what he ordered: a California roll, a spicy tuna roll, and an eel avocado roll. Those are the three most basic rolls that you can get. That's the most basic sushi order that you're ever going to find or hear of somebody ordering. And that is a very baseball thing to do. Baseball players are basic bitches across the board. It's pretty much just a fact. So I heard that. So it was after that I looked up the roster. I was like, all right, who is this guy? And sure enough, it's a Major League Baseball player, barely. He had been a journeyman, had appeared a few times in the big leagues, spent a lot of time in AAA, and he was just bouncing around from team to team as journeyman relievers do. And so he had happened to just be called up by the Giants. And earlier that day, I just found out that I was going to be going to San Diego that year for the All-Star Game as part of a work trip. So I was really excited about that. And I went out to him and I'm just like, hey, you're Mike Broadway, right? And he's just like, the fuck? Like, how did you recognize me? Like, this was the first time that he had ever been recognized, like, outside of a minor league ballpark. Like, even the major leagues, people assume he's a coach or something, or it's like a nobody, because, you know, it wasn't exactly a marquee player. So this is probably never happened to him before. And especially in New York, it's just like, that's a place you want to be recognized if you're not used to that shit. So he just gets this grin and he's like, he thinks it's really cool, but also appears a little uncomfortable. He's just like, I'm just some fucking guy. So I'm just like, yeah, you know, I'm going to be, well, he was just like, how did you recognize me? And I was like, oh, well, you know, I work for Topps and therefore I have to know what everybody looks like. Which is not true. I just know what most players look like anyway. And I, you know, I didn't feel like explaining to him how I can tell based on his appearance and swagger and his sushi order that like, I figured he must be a ball player. So I just, you know, told him a white lie. And I was like I'd had a couple drinks that night. So I was a little, you know, tipsy. And I was like, hey, you know, I'm going to be in San Diego for the All-Star Game. Just found out I'm going. Who knows? Maybe you'll hit your stride here and I'll see you in San Diego. And oh my God, he gave the most uncomfortable, grin I've ever seen in my life. Because, like, I think that was a testament to how little he believed himself, because the next day he proceeds to give up like 7 runs in less than an inning's worth of work to the Mets. And the day after that, the Giants released him. And he's never appeared in a major league game since. And I think he's playing in Japan now. So I can't help but feel like I jinxed him. And that's a terrible feeling. Second instance of this was, you know, at the show that I did at the Stand in August. After the show, I met Shane Gillis, who was on the show. And a week after that, he had been hired and then fired from Saturday Night Live. So, you know, if I'm going to be meeting Mark Normand, I would prefer our encounter to go with something like, "Hey, like you said, ah, it was cool. You're my favorite queef. Ah," that's my Mark Normand impression. You know, I would hope that our encounter goes something like that. But now it's just, now I'm thinking like, I don't want to jinx one of my favorite comedians. I want to be the potential precursor to his career just going to shit. That would suck. That'd make me feel terrible. Cause, in addition to ruining somebody else inadvertently, but also kind of knowing that I also would like to, you know, I want to see what else he's got, you know, like I'm looking forward to seeing him become an even better comic. Because I don't think he can really do much else in life. You know, he's a great writer. But I mean, his stand-up is really good, and I don't want to fuck anything up with that. But who knows? And you know, who knows? Maybe Shane Gillis is going to be just fine. I hope he is. He's absolutely hilarious. He's a great stand-up. Yeah, who knows? But basically, I would like to turn that into a bit, and I don't know if it would be hacky for me to do that bit as my act on stage at the Stand. And like, obviously I would need to refine it a lot, and I don't have a ton of time between now and Monday. You know, it's Thursday right now, and tonight I'm flying to New York on a red eye, so you know I'm going to be pretty short on sleep. My sleep's just kind of fucked up anyway. I only got like 5 hours last night. Woke up at 5:45 this morning, couldn't go back to sleep. That's something that's been on my mind, something that I've been thinking about. You know, I don't know what else to do as far as material goes, because I'm at this point where I've written a bunch of stuff that are pretty much just good premises for jokes. I haven't really gotten I haven't gotten my tags down, haven't, you know. And I guess that's something I could do on the flight tonight if I can't sleep, which seems kind of likely. There's just a lot of shit going on in my head, and I'm not entirely sure that it'd be good. Well, here's the thing. If I'm going to do comedy, I can't let fear stop me from doing it. And I think this is something that I touched on each of the last two episodes of this podcast is, if I'm actually going to try to do stand-up comedy, I can't let the fear of failure get in the way, because failure is what creates success later on, you know? You need to learn from your mistakes, and you need to make the mistakes so you learn from them. that's a good way of saying the same thing. Let's see. Okay. So I can record only up to 30 minutes, and we're at 29:30 right now. So I'm going to stop this segment and then begin a new one in just a minute. And I think I'm actually going to go take a dump. This coffee's going right through me. Be back in a second. that I'm back and feeling better than ever. I should, maybe do all that stuff before I start recording, because, I feel like I'm way clearer-headed. Isn't that a trip? And that's something I've always thought is kind of funny, because, this isn't, an epiphany I'm just now having. I had it a while back, because, when you say people are full of shit, I think that stemmed from a literal time that some guy just really needed to take a shit, so he was just telling a bunch of lies, and instead of just going and then talking about whatever business afterward, because I don't know about you, that's how I get. If I'm just bullshitting, it's because I have a bull-sized shit up inside me that needs to come out, and we gotta, be more truthful as a society. So, eat your greens and poop more, people. it's a good thing to have good digestive health. That way, you're less likely to get colon cancer and colitis and things like that, things relating to all that fun butt stuff that everybody raves about. Let's see. So yeah, so I was just talking about how I wanted to do this show at the Stand, because I think it might suck, and I need that for my career. and obviously it's not in those terms that I'm aiming to get out of it, but I do want to, I would like to, I think it would be good for me to do the show. And here's the thing, it is a bringer show, so I need to get 4 people to come. If you're in New York and you're listening to this, please come see me. Get in touch with me on Facebook, let me know that you're coming to the show, so that way I know to confirm the booking with the people. But it's $22 admission. And as I said before, Mark Normand is headlining. And as far as I'm concerned, 22 minutes for Mark, or $22 for Mark Normand, he'll probably do 25 or so, 25 minute set, somewhere between 15 and 25, depending on how everybody likes him. But I don't see any way that people won't like him. He's a really good comic. So basically pay the money to see him, and then you'll get to see me as an extension of that. I'll just happen to be there, and that'll be good. Then that way I won't feel bad about bombing. Cause that's the worst part about doing a bringer show, is if you suck and there's no other redeeming qualities, you just made your friends waste their day. And that's a shitty feeling. But I have all the confidence in the world that, Mark Normand will not let you down. And, and I know, a lot of comics hate when you hype them up like that. I know I would hate it, but, look, I don't anticipate Mark Normand hearing this podcast ever, or hearing about people anticipating his performance based on what I said on my podcast that gets, at best 27 plays, per episode, that's pretty good. That means there are 27 people out there who think I'm worth their while. And that's a cool feeling. Don't take shit for granted. I'm trying to be more grateful, trying to, focus on the stuff that I have done and that I have, and just know that, not everybody has this good. I'm going through a lot. A lot of it I bring on myself, you could argue that I bring everything on myself, because I'm actively trying to, continue living and try new shit and, see what works and then see what else I can do. Because that's what I think that's the meaning of life. is just don't lose sight of how much cool shit there is for you to do. Doesn't matter who you are, there's something out there for everybody. And most of us probably don't know what it is. I think comedy is what I want. I'm also open to the idea that that I'm not meant to do comedy. But I'm going to keep pushing. And if after 10 years I'm really not making any headway, then yeah, I'll see where I go from there. But it, you know, maybe it won't take 10 years, but it will take a lot of time. So, you know, it's important for me to not get too ahead of myself, not get discouraged just because currently my stuff kind of, you know, it's hit and miss. You know, because so, there have been nights, as I mentioned before, when I do totally kill. And then there are nights like last night where it's just like, what the fuck am I even doing? And you'd be surprised how easy it is to have such nights happen so close to each other. That is something that happened. And, you know, something that I mentioned, you know, back in that third episode of this podcast, was that like the set that I was doing that night at the stand. I had done it at a few open mics beforehand, you know, around New York, and didn't get any laughs. So I was going into that show just kind of like, if people like you just got to make yourself a likable person and let the funny come naturally, or, you know, maybe it won't show up, but at least don't let these people hate you. And, you know, I did a good job of getting them on my side, and that was good. I forget what the point of that was. maybe I should have some more coffee. That'll help me get my thoughts together, or just further jumble them up. Who knows? It'll probably jumble them up more, but that's, but who doesn't love a good game of Boggle? All right. Oh, let's shake up the Boggle tray or whatever. I don't know what I'm saying. But yeah, so I'm going to be in New York. no shit. I don't know how many times I've mentioned that so far this episode, but I'm going to be taking a red eye tonight, getting in tomorrow morning, staying at my buddy Jerry Garcia's place. And I think I mentioned all of that already. What else did I want to discuss? There are some other things that I had in my mind. I have not taken any notes. I'm not working off any notes for this episode. This is all off the cuff. I wanted to do this early and just get it out, because once I get to New York, I don't want to really do anything having to do with the podcast. I want to be present in New York. You know, I got some work to do for my freelance gigs, and I also want to write and practice my comedy. And I will be doing the next episode on Thanksgiving. That'll be the very least of what I'm doing or it'll be the most that I do that day. Who knows? But it is, but I'm guaranteed, my point is this: I am guaranteeing that I will do something creative on Thanksgiving, because I'm not having Thanksgiving dinner that day. I'm hoping to get on some other comedy show or do some open mics. Hopefully something like that comedy related is happening on Thanksgiving Day. Cause that'll be nice. I would like to, you know, get out there and just not waste the day alone. Even though if it comes to that, I'm fine with it. I would just prefer to, you know, surround myself with people, so it becomes, you know, so it's not depressing at all. I think I'm going to stop this episode here, because I've got a flight to catch, and I've still got to, you know, shower and get my stuff together. And I'm mostly packed, but yeah, you know, it's pretty wild. You know what? I'm not going to hang up just yet. I did want to talk about, since I am going to be meeting my parents in the city, they're also coming out for Thanksgiving. I think I mentioned that part of, but it goes to this, on Saturday night, I'm going to the Radio Club of America, annual dinner, where I think my dad's receiving some kind of award, only because he mentioned that he was renting a tux, and normally he just wears a suit, and but he's renting a tux now, and like that's all fine and well. I don't know if he's actually getting an award. I feel like this is stuff I should know, if he is, but I just don't see any other reason why he'd be wearing a tux, but. Yeah, so my Saturday night is going to be great, which I say sarcastically because I realize I really don't want to go to this this banquet or whatever. It's like the people who just try to imagine the people who belong to the Radio Club of America. It's a lot of old people, and as you know from the previous episode, I do perfectly well with old people. They love me, but I don't really care for such a concentration of old people who happen to be experts in radio stuff. They're not the funnest people to talk with. Like, unless you love talking about radios and radio-related stuff, I don't enjoy... I don't see how anybody can enjoy talking with them. So the good news is, you know, the food there is, every time I've gone in the past, it's been good. The thing is, I don't drink as much as I used to. I hardly drink at all anymore. So I'm not going to be getting loaded on martinis this year. It's been a while since I've had a martini. I might get loaded on a martini or two, but, you know, I only get like, I think each person only gets 2 drink tickets, and then you have to pay, and you know, I'm not doing any of that shit. So I'll probably just smoke weed in the bathroom or something, and you know, just find a corner to just keep to myself. We'll see. Maybe I'll be more of a social butterfly. Something will show up. You know, actually, maybe I will be a social butterfly and recruit people to come see me perform at the Stand on Monday. Wouldn't that be something? Just populate this place with a bunch of old folks. That would be good. Then I'd get to do my time and, you know, probably never see any of these people again. And I wouldn't feel bad if I did totally shit the bed. I don't even think they would like Mark Normand, but if they like me, you know, and enough that Saturday night while I'm schmoozing him and bullshitting and whatnot, Then, because I will be sure to not take a shit, I will probably, I could probably get them to buy tickets and show up as, you know, as long as they're still in town. You know, hopefully they didn't fly in. But yeah, that's just a thought. Maybe that'll work. I will, probably talk to y'all again next Thursday, assuming my flight doesn't crash. So, let's hope for safe travels for me. And, I sorry about the lack of theme music. I have not had time to write or record a theme song. Who knows? Maybe I just won't have one. I think this podcast does pretty... It does okay on its own. You know, I don't have people clamoring for music. I thought the musical transition between the first segment and the second segment of this episode was nice. Maybe I'll just and apparently that track is called 96 West. So maybe I'll just have that be my theme music. Probably not. Like, that was kind of jazzy. You don't really get a lot of jazz out in the desert. That wouldn't make a lot of sense with desert talk. Anyway, I'm rambling too much now, too much for my own liking, too much for your liking. If you're still listening to this, it's probably because you've just kind of spaced out and forgot to turn it off. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just getting self-conscious. Anyway, I'll talk to you guys later. See you next week. Good luck to you and your ventures, and I hope you all have a great Thanksgiving. Later.